Affiliates, Head On with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, Head On with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
This is a semi-special edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A very happy new year to you all. We'll be here till about 8:30. It's a truncated version as well. And I hope a happy new year has come to you all. As is so often the case, the new year has brought, well, it's going to be another hard year in West Virginia. It's going to be another hard year in the United States' own little third world country. It's going to be a hard year in the state that so much of this nation relies upon for its energy. And the year has started out mighty hard at the Sago mines in Upshur County. I was planning on not doing a show this evening. I was on the couch, being a couch potato with my dad. You know, watching football on what should be New Year's Day, but it's January the 2nd, whatever. And then the news began following the news of the mine explosion near Tallmansville in Upshur County. And felt like I ought to at least come on the air for a while to give folks an opportunity to talk about what has happened, what it means, this explosion at Sago number one. It's been the frustrating, precious little information coming out, and the same thing happening there that has happened so many other places in West Virginia, gatherings at churches, waiting for the news, hearts breaking, hearts aching. 13 miners in the dark, not knowing whether they live or died in the explosion. And among other things, the eternal question of why it had to happen. Now, from my standpoint, the first thing that you should know about this operation, is that it is owned by an outfit called ICG. That stands for International Coal Group. International Coal Group is headed by a billionaire by the name of Wilbur Ross. This billionaire makes a habit of sucking up companies that are on hard times and then wringing out every last dime he can from it and leaving disaster and misery in his wake. The International Coal Group, if you are a follower of this program, the International Coal Group is the same people who partnered with Massey Energy to buy the Horizon Energy holdings, not the least of which was the operation about 30 miles from here at Cannelton. And having bought it, threw workers out on their ear, stole their pensions from them, stole their health care benefits from them, which they had traded with the company for their hard labor. Simply stole it from them. This is the same group that controls the mine, mines in Upshur County. Mines, by the way, which have been cited something on the order dozens of times in 2005 alone for things like ventilation and dust issues. And of course, there's nothing short of methane itself. There's nothing more explosive in a coal mine than coal dust. And oh God, the misery that is there tonight, and our hearts are with them. And it's also fair to tell you that this outfit at Sago number one, since it's owned by International Coal Group and they're more interested in money than they are in human beings, this is a non-union mine. I think it is safe to say that this would not have happened had this been a union mine, because the UMWA is concerned with the safety of its brothers and sisters. And they partner with management in making safer workplaces. But this is one of those outfits where a human being, while possibly, well, quite certainly well paid, a human being is on the same scale with a draft mule. You see, that's what you get when you bargain by yourself with the company. Boss, I don't want to go to work today. This ought to be my New Year's Day. You go to work, boy, or you ain't got a job. Boom. Poor Wilbur Ross, just like his buddy Don Blankenship, has not figured out yet that they don't attach U-Hauls to hearses. My heart is aching tonight. Oh, if only those miners had been, well, if only they'd been union miners. They might be on the couch getting ready to watch the WVU game this evening. If only those miners had been union miners, that company wouldn't have gotten away with all of its safety and health transgressions of the last year. Oh, what a nation we make when we attack the people who carry it on their backs. Let's take a break. If you want to sound off on this, I invite you to share your thoughts. The phone number, of course, is 877-443-2366. That's 877, the number 4, Head On. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
In southern West Virginia, the place where I was born, there's something evil happening. There's something evil going on. They're tearing up our mountains. They're taking away our hills. They're taking all our homeland and making valley fields.
Vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
You know, maybe I need some wing nuts to call tonight and tell me how the age of the union has passed. Maybe I need to hear from some profit-hungry Republicans that the day of the union is gone and done. Maybe we can find a really, really bold Bush voter who can tell those 13 grieving families in Upshur County that a union would have done them no good. Any of you right-wing freaks got that kind of nerve? Do ya? Oh, and by the way, you know, we play that PSA about from MSHA about, you know, always wear your safety harness. Isn't it funny how they aim that at the workers? Why don't we have any PSAs from the Mine Safety and Health Administration advising coal companies to operate on the straight and quit cutting corners and quit acting like workers' lives are nothing? Why don't we? You and I know the answer. Here's the answer. Dave Larisky, head of MSHA? Well, he's a mining executive from out west. Then again, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Labor for MSHA. John Kaler, management jobs with Cypress Minerals Company, Amax Mining, and Magma Copper Company. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Labor for MSHA. John Carell served in management posts at Amax Mining and Peabody Coal. Special Assistant for MSHA Mark Ellis served as legal counsel to the American Mining Congress. Chief of Health, this is the good one, Chief of Health for Coal, Melinda Pond, was a management official at BHP Minerals, Utah International. Funny, that falls under the Department of Labor. I, you know, it's crazy, but I've got this goofy, wild, the zany, commie, left-wing notion that maybe workers ought to be in charge of the Department of Labor. Huh? Wow, isn't that just nuts? Letting workers be in charge of how workers are treated? But no, we've got a nasty old witch named Elaine Chao. Wife of one of the filthiest members of the United States Senate. The dirty, the misbegotten, the soulless Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. What'd you have for dinner tonight, Mitch? How about you, Elaine, sit down to a nice dinner on good china with nice silver and a linen tablecloth, did ya? While families in Upshur County gather in their churches and pray for the safe return of people that you think of like work animals. Let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim. You're head on.
Good.
How you doing?
All right. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Now, this business in Upshur County, I'll tell you, what first was DOL, Department of Labor. You've got foxes tending the hen house there, that's for sure.
Yeah, you definitely do. I mean, and these are all, you know, these are all just Bush cronies. This is Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job all over again.
And, of course, this mine up in Upshur County, I understand, is a non-union mine.
That's correct.
During the weekend, during the holidays, it was shut down. And I'm sure they probably shut everything off in there. I don't know if they shut off the ventilators or not, but it would appear to me as something they should have had somebody being paid a decent wage on duty during on that mine to be sure that it would be safe and to test those gas levels and things, it would appear to me.
Well, you know, if it had been a union mine, there would have been...
safeguard.
Well, there would have been humans working there, and, you know, by golly, in exchange for them giving up their holiday, they would have been making double or triple time, and, of course, a non-union coal company can't stand anything like that.
They're not willing to pay that.
Heck no. They'd rather have a few people die.
Well, my heart and prayers goes out to all those 13 families, and I just hope that some miracle will save these people. I understand from the CNN and MSNBC they're having to send a robot in there now.
Well, I don't...
Because the gas level is just too high for people, and they only have 7 hours on their...
And, of course, if a spark comes off that robot, brand-new explosion.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how people do that kind of work, man, because I'll tell you, I can't even go into that exhibition coal mine because I'm claustrophobic, and I don't know how people can make a living that way, but my heart goes out to them. It really is a horrible situation, but I'll guarantee you, it's a non-union mine, and I'll guarantee you this company has had a bunch of infractions piled against them already.
Oh, you don't have to guarantee it. It's already verified, Jim.
Really?
Yeah, they've had they've had $22,000 worth of fines levied against them in 2005 alone, $35,000 or so between 2002 and 2005. Incidentally, a lot of the fines coincide with this International Coal Group taking over the reins.
I tell you, man, this is kind of, you know, this reminds me of like some of the conditions that existed in the Soviet Union under Stalin when they used to have those people go in those mines and half of them wouldn't come out. You know what I'm saying? It's the same type of situation.
Yes, it is. This is, in China they lose something on the order of 10,000 plus coal miners and miners of various stripe per year. And when this happened, the first thing that popped into my head was that editorial that Don Nealon wrote a couple of years ago. And it ran in the Gazette, saying that we need to deregulate the mining industry so that we can mine coal more like China.
Well, somebody's absolutely just crazy to say something like that. Of course, you know, when I was watching, now here's a quantum leap here. This shows you how much America perhaps has changed. But I was watching the New Year's Eve thing, and the guy did a flashback to 1965 to Johnny Carson. And he said, you know, at this time, our annual or our deficit was $300 billion. Now, in 1965, that's when the Vietnam War was just really getting cranked up, and we were almost at the height of our involvement, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's $8 trillion. Now, can you imagine what $8 trillion looks like? I can't even imagine a trillion. Can you?
No. My mind cannot wrap itself around the concept of trillion mathematically.
$8 trillion, and I thought to myself, good Lord, and where is this money? I don't know. You know, I'll tell you something. You know, it just seems to me like that we're almost in a situation economically that Germany was after World War One. That's what our money's going to be like. If everybody were to call in their notes and stuff like that, well, it wouldn't be any use for them to, because the dollar wouldn't be worth anything.
No. No, but, you know, we cruise along in our happy little mundane lives. Lives of quiet desperation. And, you know, we don't worry about things like all the bad paper that George Bush is hanging all over the Pacific Rim. We don't worry about it, Jim.
Well, tonight they were making a thing that more people were having to use their credit cards for everyday necessities. I mean, for medicine, for emergency room, because they don't have health insurance, and also they're having to use it for emergency auto repairs. I mean, people who used to have a little money set aside, they can't do it anymore. And now credit card companies have been told they've got to increase the minimum rate and the bankruptcy law they file. I mean, you know, It just seems like it's going against the middle class and the lower class, and it's just...
Absolutely, Jim, and there's a classic example. At the same time that the Senate and the House were busy putting the screws to working people who have had medical emergencies, that kind of thing, with the bankruptcy bill...
80% of all those people who have filed bankruptcy since 81 were due to because of medical catastrophes.
At the same time they were doing that to the American middle and lower class... they didn't have time to take a look at the business end of bankruptcy and, you know, the fact that this very same outfit, International Coal Group, was able to convince a bankruptcy judge to just rip
just
off.
Slide right on through.
Just rip off a bunch of workers, yeah.
And that way they were, they completely had to, they completely got out from any other obligation they had to those people and their pensions and everything, and they could start anew doing somewhere else, screwing somebody else.
Right.
I tell you what I said the other night. God is not happy with this.
Well,
God is angry. I know he is.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's another one of those cases of we better quit hollering God bless America and get on our knees and beg God forgive America, don't you think?
Well, I think you're probably right there. And I understand that Manchin has come back from Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw him on CNN this afternoon, and I was looking at Agnes, and I said, why is that man on TV? Why isn't he on a plane for West Virginia already?
Well, he is. He is.
Yeah,
he's back.
Well, it would have been political suicide for him to go to the football game today. And believe me, please, we're dealing with a Manchin, okay? This has nothing to do with compassion. This has to do with not committing political suicide.
Well, of course, I understand that a matter of political expediency. But like I say, my thoughts, hearts, and prayers go out to the families of those people who are in those churches waiting for something, for news. But I'll tell you, Bobby, it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
Because they're 160 down and a mile across. Is that how it is?
And that's another one of the things that drives me crazy about the Alphabet Soup news networks. I don't know if you saw the graphics they were running on CNN.
Well, they said they were a mile down.
Well, yeah, they were showing this graphic of a shaft mine and then a little flash icon, and then they said, you know, the depth of four times the Empire State Building. And then, you know, they interview a reporter on the scene who says very clearly, this is a drift mine.
Right.
There's a difference between drift mine and a shaft mine.
I was thinking, my God, a shaft mine, that's almost, they're halfway down as far as the Titanic is, on the bottom of the floor, you know?
Yeah. But
or the Bismarck.
Yeah, but of course, that's, you know, that's not what it is. And it must have been catastrophic, because I've talked to a couple of people today who have experience with drift mines, you know, not the least of which is my own father. And he said, you know, he tells me about the way that they're constructed, and he said something god-awful must have happened to keep them from getting out through one of the other ancillary tunnels.
Well, I was thinking that. I mean, don't they have, aren't these mines, like, shored up, or don't they have braces on the all of them?
Oh, yeah, they're braced and roof-bolted, for sure. But, I mean, when you consider the concussive force of any kind of an explosion in that sort of contained space, you know, there's not a lot of roof bolts and there are not a lot of braces that are going to hold up against that.
Well, don't they have devices in these channels that tell somebody what the gas level is?
They are supposed to. But again, we're talking about a non-union mine, and it's all and when you're talking about International Coal Group, you're talking about cutting corners and pinching pennies.
Well, if you had a union mine there, I'm sure it would have been a different situation. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Look, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but we've got some horrendous weather, just cells of it that are gathering over and around us.
I know. I've got a door open, actually. It may get a little noisy in here, but I've got a door open so we can see if there are any flashes, because if there are, we will be going off the air. Because
son, if you hear, you know, I hate to tell you, if you could see the flash, well, it bend over.
Well, no. What I'm just talking, you know, a distant rumble of thunder will kill our stream.
I mean, the other night, I'll tell you, when I didn't realize, but there was a bolt of, it looked like artillery fire. I mean, it looked like over Baghdad, over behind where I lived, when y'all had to go off the air.
Yeah, it was ugly, and I had to get up at 3 o'clock this morning because there was thunder rolling through, and I had to come in and watch the stream go down again. Like I said, I have the telecommunications equivalent of a terrified chihuahua that runs under the bed every time it thunders.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck with that. Are you going to be on for the full way, or are you going to go off at 20:30?
I'm knocking off at 20:30.
Okay. Well, listen, like I say, you take care, watch your communications, and I certainly hope that a miracle can take care of these 13 poor people that are in that hole. My God.
I think a miracle is called for, Jim. Thanks for your kind words.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And an email from our pal Chris in Alabama. Bob, I'll abstain from calling in tonight and let the citizens of West Virginia talk about their own people, more than likely relatives or friends. And, you know, Chris, in a way, we're a small state, and we feel a profound sense of community, and we're all family. He says, when I first began listening to your show, my interest was to hear about the struggles of the miners and their families. Through your show, I found out about Coal River Mountain Watch and was fortunate enough to interview a member of this organization, which is always under siege. I've begun to care very much about your listeners, and I want to extend my deepest regrets to everyone listening. I went to the website for International Coal Group, and just as I expected, there's no mention on their site about this tragedy. Promise me, Bob, you'll continue to speak for the workers, the miners, as long as your voice will allow. Chris. Thanks, Chris. And I will continue to speak. You know, look, this is not something... how can I put this? I do this because it's what I believe in. I mean, I guess I've got an ugly little dose of obsessive-compulsive streak. I couldn't even stand to take a whole night off. Even as early as last night, some folks could verify I was talking about doing at least a half a show tonight. And then to find out today what happened in Upshur County, there was no way I couldn't be here. Because, you see, most of America doesn't realize that West Virginia is a third world country. Oh, we pledge allegiance to the flag just like everybody else. But from the moment that the first speck of coal was discovered in this state, we have been sucking hind teat. And we always will, for as long as coal is here. Do you think those people in Upshur County were excited to go to work today? A lot of businesses knocked off today. Just like a lot of businesses knocked off on the 26th of December, since Christmas fell on a Sunday, too. But no, not at the Sago mine. Not if you're with the International Coal Group, baby. You get up and you go to work, and sorry, screw you. You don't like it, we'll find somebody else to do it. Because see, sunshine, you're on your own. You don't have a union, you don't have representation, and you don't have a voice, and you don't have a prayer. We are the boss. You are the worker. We tell you what to do. You do it and like it and shut the hell up. I mean, that's how it is in a non-union shop. You know, you don't have a shop steward. You don't have a representative. You don't have somebody that you can speak to when they're doing you dirty. We're going to find out in time why that... And early on... Like I said, I was up at 3 o'clock this morning watching the stream go down, because I'm sort of keeping track of that kind of thing. And the same thunderstorm that rolled through here went, you know, we're roughly due south of Upshur County. And it rolled on up to them, and it was pretty ferocious. And early on, they're trying to blame the lightning, that lightning ran into the mine. And I suppose that's possible. I'm no electrician. Verizon can't keep lightning from running in on my telephone equipment. But the other thing that was mentioned was the fact that there was a company spokesman on there who said, it wasn't methane or natural gas that was part of the explosion. It was something else. And then, well, no comment. Well, the only two things remaining as part of that no comment are, one, coal dust, and two, the high explosives. Think about that for a moment. Think about the people who live in the southern coal fields of West Virginia who have entire warehouses of high explosives around them. Think about what West Virginia sacrifices for the rest of this nation. Because of the manifest greed of people like Wilbur Ross and Don Blankenship and all the other nasty old coal whores. Because of their manifest greed, West Virginia has been undermined, outmined, overmined, in-mined. We have been mined every way imaginable to feed the growing hunger of a nation and a world. And that's, you know, I suppose you're going to have that. It's not like they've never, it's not like this didn't happen in Germany or Wales. But a little bit of simple appreciation might go a long way. Do us a favor. If you're outside West Virginia, do us a favor. For instance, when you're done when you're done with the computer tonight, turn it off. When you leave the room, turn off the lights. When people don't do that, we lose mountains, we lose lives. Please. Please. Let's go to the phones. Nanette is with us. Hey, Nanette, you're head on.
How you doing?
Oh, kind of, well, you know.
I know. It's been a bad day.
Yeah.
We've all been glued to the TV.
Because everybody, you know, whether you've got somebody there or not, just about everybody in this state, Nanette, has family that has been through something like this.
Well, yeah, there's so many of us that have disabled minors in our family.
Right.
You know, just like my husband. And we, every day they go to work, you dread getting a knock on the door or a phone call. Because you never know.
No, you don't.
You just never know. And whenever something like this happens, it really, it gets you right in the pit of your stomach. Because you know, you've been, when you have someone who works underground,
mm-hmm.
you know that that's a possibility. And that's a risk that they take.
Well, it is a risk that they take, but I have a sneaking suspicion, Nanette, that this that there were risks involved here that did not have to be taken.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
Because, you know, your husband, fine fella, was a member of the UMWA.
Yes.
And the UMWA, even to the point of making making management extremely angry, will bust its rear end to make sure that, you know, an incredibly dangerous undertaking is at least a little less so.
That's right. And he was an electrician underground, and he was extremely careful because he didn't want somebody's death on his shoulders.
Well, I would be curious to know what he thinks of this theory of lightning running in on the electrical equipment to cause this explosion.
There's supposed to be protections in place to keep that from happening.
I would think, you know, grounds, fuses, lightning rods, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just it just sounded funny.
I've just never heard of anything like that. He said there should have been protection there to keep that from happening, and you know, I guess they didn't have it.
Well, I guess maybe it would have maybe taken $195 off the bottom line of the stock
that.
Dividend.
That is so sad. That is so sad.
You know it's true, Nanette.
They
will sacrifice human lives for money.
I know that. It's awful. It's awful. And the fines that are given to these companies that are in serious violation is laughable.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't so shameful.
Well, what was the little fella over in Virginia? Jeremy Davison?
Mm-hmm.
How much did that coal company get fined for murdering him?
I can't remember right off the top of my
head. $15,000.
Yeah.
For one human life. You know, a big coal company can trade $15,000 for a human life all day long. And I think about what's going on in Upshur County, and Nanette, I think about the way that they've done workers' comp.
Oh, I know. My husband's been disabled since 1996, and he's never gotten his comp.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. He's never gotten his comp. He never will. Even though he had a spine injury, a brain injury, he'll never get it.
My heart just goes out for those people up there, and I hope they don't have to go through what your husband's been through.
Well, I fear it's gone beyond that. I really do. Listening to this and knowing what's down there. And my dad worked at Nellis for Armco.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the big explosion down there that killed all those men. And he was off shift when that happened. And when they went in there, they never found whole bodies. They found pieces.
Right.
It was horrible. And It was just, I mean, I just fear the worst, because surely they could have found a way out.
Well, you know, that, and again, I can't speak from personal experience, but the miners that I know who have worked in drift mines say that unless the thing was just run so shoddy that it was impossible, that there had to be a way another way out.
Well, you have to have your belt line or your rail line. You have to have your way in. You have to have your return.
And
you have to have your airway, your fans.
Yeah, your vent tunnels.
Ventilation, yeah. So there had to be more ways in there than just one way, and more ways out than just one way.
Well, there are a lot of questions not being answered, and I have a feeling that of course, Nanette, and I don't mean to be conspiracy theory oriented, but you know there will be a whitewash job involved,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, there are always a whitewash job. But I was listening to the two executives that they interviewed on CNN.
Oh, I saw them.
They didn't know an answer to anything.
No, they didn't. They didn't answer a single question.
No, they're not. They're not going to either.
No, believe me. Well, one of them was corporate counsel or something. You can bet he had them in a room saying, teaching them, admit nothing, deny everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, even Bob, even union companies. I mean, you know, that's got union. They're bad enough, and I can't imagine what it's like for men who work for non-union. It has to be the most awful thing that ever was.
Well, downright soulless.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like in, you know, the conditions there. I can't imagine it.
Those poor people, you know, they would at least have it. You know, the UMWA can't do any more than just about anybody else can in this circumstance, but they would have the comfort and the condolence of their union brothers and sisters. These people have nothing.
I know. I know it. I don't know what to think about it. I turned the TV on today, and my daughter called me. She'd seen it on the internet, and I hadn't been on the computer yet. And I turned on the TV, and I thought, oh, Lord, what a way to start the new year. These poor people, you know, and I just been glued to it all day. I was wanting to watch football, and I couldn't watch football because I had to watch the news. I just couldn't keep from watching the news.
I know. It's been the same way here.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Well, Bob, I'm going to get off here.
All right. Nanette, take care, and we'll all keep them in our prayers.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Just keep praying for them.
All right. Take care, Nanette.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is, it's one of the sad facts of being West Virginian that we're used to this. It doesn't happen as much as it used to, but we are indeed used to this. Let's see, 1907, Monongah, West Virginia. The worst coal mine disaster in American history. 362 people dead. 362. And it's not just West Virginia. Alabama. September 2001, 13 coal miners killed in an explosion there. The Eccles mine disaster. One of my cousins, second cousin, spent days, literally up to his neck in water, struggling to keep from drowning after a mine explosion. And yeah, it's one thing to say these are the risks that they take, and they know that they're taking these risks. That's the miner's side of things. What about the company? Where do you suppose Wilbur Ross was yesterday? Where is Wilbur Ross today? Is Wilbur Ross on his way to Upshur County? Or is Wilbur Ross whining and dining some investor somewhere? Wilbur Ross has never eaten beans and cornbread in his life. And he never will. Wilbur Ross has never known hard work or a calloused hand. Wilbur Ross does not know need. He does not know want. He does not know grief. He does not know suffering. Wilbur Ross is a man who worships money. His Holy Communion is green, and it's crisp, and you can carry it around in your pocket. And the wafers are made of metal, precious metal. For Wilbur Ross has a sickness of the heart that can only be cured by gold. Do you see how these people are? Lightning didn't cause the explosion at Sago. Greed caused the explosion at Sago. To me, it's easy to comprehend. I suppose to some others it isn't. But Wilbur Ross is another one of those human beings that I would not walk across the street to speak to. I am better than Wilbur Ross. I am better than Don Blankenship. And so are most of the people who listen to this program and most of the people I know. Because we care about more than money. We are driven by more human, by a wider variety and range of human emotion than simple, naked greed. What will be the outcome of this? We don't know. But we do know that little or nothing will be done to Wilbur Ross. Little or nothing will be done to the well-heeled officers of International Coal Group. In point of fact, I can guarantee you that somewhere in the war room of some silk stocking law firm, they're already hard at work today. What are they working on? They're gathering information to defeat workers' compensation claims filed by those miners and those families. Yes, they are. Of course they are. I don't know how a human being can be a lawyer for a coal company, given the sleazy, dirty, filthy things they're asked to do. People often talk about the lawyers who defend, say, you know, a rapist or a murderer at trial. I've got a lot less trouble with those lawyers than I do with the corporate sleazebags who sit around plotting ways to twist the law into cheating deserving individuals out of what they've got coming. And yeah, you know it's true. You know that at Jackson and Kelly and Charleston and all their other satellite offices, you know that Spillman and Battle, you know that K. Casto Cheney, you know that Robinson and McElwee, all these law firms that, and Rice Bowls, and all these filthy law firms that just suck money out of the coal industry for the sole purpose of screwing workers. You know that the engines are running tonight, sunshine. You know that they are there. You know that they are working because they know that their clients might be in some, tough times. Because, you see, tough times for the corporation means that there's a little less money. It's not the same thing as tough times at the church in Upshur County, where tough times mean Daddy isn't coming home. And Spillman and Thomas and Rice Bowls and Jackson and Kelly are all hard at work on the tough times coming for ICG. Those tough money times. You see, I'm sure there are some that think I'm being entirely too harsh on corporatist devils like Wilbur Ross. But see, back when he was integral in helping Massey take over these mines down at Cannleton, I interviewed a man who had been thrown out on the street. His wife was in the middle of chemotherapy for breast cancer when they canceled his health care coverage. And I'm being harsh on ICG, I hope to God so. Because you know what? Wilbur Ross doesn't deserve the kind condolences of anyone. Wilbur Ross does not deserve the good regard of anyone.
But, Bob, he's giving people jobs.
And look at the jobs he's given. A mine run so shoddy that they've been busted dozens of times in 1 year for not having a workplace safe enough for a human being. But then again, you know, it's ICG, it's the International Coal Group, it's Wilbur Ross. Screw a human being. The question is, are we making enough money? You know? And of course you do. You know, I talked with Joe Vecchio the other night, and he was talking about the fact that, as a matter of principle, there are some things that some humans won't do. And Ben Birch echoed that thought as well. Well, for people like Wilbur Ross, there is nothing they won't do. No law they won't violate, no tenet they won't abandon. There is no soul they will not steal. All in the name of money. And that stuff doesn't even compost well, and it won't be fit to bury them. This is the age we live in. When robber barons like Wilbur Ross can get away with... call it what you will. And we talk about how the need for a union is gone by. Ponder it. Let it roll around in your noggin until it makes you want to scream. Because they're screaming and they're crying and they're weeping in Upshur County tonight. And more lightning moving in. And Wilbur Ross is in a penthouse somewhere. Oh, do bring me another glass of that wonderful Cabernet. Wilbur Ross is another one of those people that sort of makes you pray for a very real, very hot, very burning hell. So we've got about 30 more minutes of show to do. Your thoughts are always welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877 443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Have you heard the tales of the oldest woman in these hills? Lost her husband, lost her land. Ask her about it, and she says, I watched the train.
With your one eye on these mountains and your one foot.
of you, and then you'll take some more. With your one eye on these mountains and your one foot out the
found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
My family would travel down to western Kentucky, where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Adrie Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. And the coal company came with the world's largest shovel, and they tortured the timber and stripped all the land. Well, they dug for their coal till the land was forsaken, then they rode it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting, just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
Welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And a reminder, your phone calls, your emails are, of course, welcome. As we do the last 25 minutes or so of this truncated version of Head On, the phone number is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Email's easy, too, bob@headonradio.com. A question from our good friend Peter from Tallahassee. In the Tom Hartman chat room with all the other wonderful wonderful posters there. In answer to your question, International Coal Group is by no means West Virginia anything. They're strictly outsiders, just like the entire coal industry has been ever since West Virginia was converted into a third world country when coal was first discovered, and English coal companies, for instance, working through, you know, New York and Pennsylvania, came down and stole everything we had. I mean, if you're, I don't want to insult anybody, but West Virginia has been treated during the years of its statehood, you know, June 20th, 1863 forward, the minute they found coal, well, West Virginia's hopes sort of died that day. It has cost us inestimable amounts of money. It took took a person who was the 1950s before when we placed the very first penny of tax on coal, and just recently a lawyer in Charleston, who is the campaign chairman for Senator Robert Byrd, took a case to the West Virginia Supreme Court, and now they're taking it to the United States Supreme Court, saying that West Virginia coal companies shouldn't have to pay tax? Yeah, you heard all of that right. The lawyer, who is the campaign chairman for Senator Robert Byrd, took a case on behalf of all of the coal companies to the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia, saying, we poor coal companies should not have to pay tax for the coal that we reap out of West Virginia. And did it with a straight face, man. Really? Did it with a straight face. And then when they lost in the West Virginia Supreme Court, that's because the court has a liberal bias, and we're going to have to take this sucker to Washington and get the fat Tony Scalia and Slappy Thomas to rule on it and say that coal companies don't have to pay taxes in West Virginia. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those moments. I got to pay taxes, and a coal company doesn't? Yeah, just let that rattle around for a minute or two. And I think the question begs to be answered, why it is that, never mind, we'll leave that alone. But yeah, remember, when you think about these families waiting in the churches, these families grieving, wondering if daddy's coming home, wondering if the hubby's coming home, remember, you're dealing with a coal company that doesn't think it ought to have to pay taxes. You know, they're better than us. They're, you know, by virtue of the rulings of the Supreme Court, they are persons. A corporation is a person just like you, just like me, except for the fact that it's immortal. It's a person, but that person doesn't feel like it has to pay taxes. No, baby, that's for me to do. That's for you to do. That's for the families working 3 minimum wage jobs to do. That's not for a filthy, stinking, dirty, vile, obscenely rich coal company to do. Oh, no, because, well, you know, if you tax the coal companies, they'll just go out of business. Oh, Jesus, they'll go out of business, and they'll take their coal and go somewhere else. Oh, wait a minute, they can't take the coal. It's stuck in the dirt. There's a day coming, and you know what? With all of their greed and all of their filth and all of their excesses, the day that is coming hastens in its arrival. Frankly, you know, the coal that's in the ground in West Virginia is the legacy to our posterity. And I, you know, this is, well, we allow ourselves to trade our birthright for a thin, flavorless bowl of thin gruel. We make Esau's bargain every day. We make it at the deep mines. We make it at the mountaintop removal sites. And then the people with whom we make the bargain say that they don't even want to pay taxes. Patty is with us. Hey, Patty, good to hear from you. You're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I finally got your show to come in tonight.
Well, yay.
Yeah. And you know what? It might be a good thing about that Beckley station because you got better music playing now.
Don't we?
Yes, you do.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been hearing about the miners trapped.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible, terrible thing. And I was going to tell you now, don't give that CNN guy too hard a time because, you know, I've been giving him information online all day, or at least one of the producers.
Oh, really?
And they must have made a mistake, but the guy told me that he knew absolutely nothing about coal mining at all. So
it was kind of obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of, just a little. But that's the way things go. But, you know, this is a horrible, horrible accident, and I don't know what has caused it. They're saying methane or lightning. Either one of those you can't really control, but then again, you can monitor methane.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what has happened, but, you know, it's just terrible, and I'll get the men out. I really didn't think the Q Creek guys had a chance, and they did, so we'll hope and pray that these guys do, too.
Exactly.
And, you know, I got to wonder, thinking back, wasn't there 13 men trapped at Q Creek also?
And it was, well, it was 13 men killed in Alabama in 2001.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, but we're hoping, you know.
Yeah.
We have to have good thoughts right now and hope and pray that they all get
out. I agree, Patty. I get so infuriated when I think about the way these companies treat their workers.
I do, too. And, of course, you know, it's kind of personal with me because my husband's an injured miner, and he's been off. In October made a year he was injured, but December made a year that we've been doing without benefits because the company doesn't see fit to pay him his benefits under this new workers' comp law. And that's, you know, really worrisome and something that all you read about and hear on the news is how good it's working and how great it is for everyone. And, you know, it's saving money. Yeah, it's saving money to the companies, but what about the injured workers?
Right. Well, but they don't matter.
And then there's the whole weather thing that I don't know if people have been thinking about, but since, you know, we've been in this situation for over a year, I've really been thinking about it. And at my husband's age, 55, I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen before long when all this coal is gone and all these companies are out of here? Does anybody really think they're going to have retirement benefits and health care that these companies promised they would pay?
Of course they
you know,
won't.
It'll be just like the horizon where they, you know, in the blink of an eye, everything, their health care, their retirement, everything they were promised to give up their life and their health is taken away in a blink.
Yeah, just disappeared.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, and people think, well, maybe that's just coal mining and, you know, that's not affecting me. Well, you know what? It's a trend with corporations and companies, and people better be looking.
Oh, it happened at Polaroid. It's happened at American Airlines. It's happening all over the country.
And that's my point. Unless we get a handle on these corporations, nobody's going to have anything except the elite.
Right. And soon enough, you know, eventually it'll turn in on itself with the elite as well, Patty. Because they won't have anyone supporting them, you know,
That's true. Except what bankrolls that they, you know, greedily hide away. But at the same time, I mean everyone. There's nobody, I don't feel that anybody in America anymore, their health care or their retirement is secure.
No.
And unless it's in a bank account under their own name, maybe. But, you know, these corporations, they agree to these things, and then all of a sudden, once they get what they want out of you and your usefulness is gone, they toss you to the side like a piece of trash.
And it's theft.
I laugh about it.
Yeah, it's out-and-out theft.
Well, and that's what makes me so mad about this workers' comp thing. You know, I'm learning that when workers' comp the first time around was set up, that it was set up for twofold. And the reasons being, well, one, so the workers could get their benefits and treatment early, you know, after their accidents and injuries. And
yeah, but the primary purpose of workers' comp, Patty, was to insulate the company from liability.
Yes, to stop lawsuits.
It was the very first tort reform.
But now they're having their cake and they're eating it, too.
Yeah.
Because my husband's not being able to get his benefits and his treatment and his money. At the same time, he can't sue him because we have workers' comp. Now, about how fair is that?
It's a great scheme if you're on the other side of it, though. You got to admit.
Well, in the news media, I'm not very happy with them either because you cannot get them to do a story about an injured worker's side. They only want to tell one side.
Oh, they only want to print stories, and I don't know if the folks listening outside West Virginia or Kentucky saw this. They only want to print stories about guys in Pikeville who think that mountaintop removal is just groovy.
Well, and around here, the stories that they do print about workers' comp usually talks about how much it's saving the companies in the state and how well it's working. But at the same time, when you ask one of them, and I've called several reporters, I've emailed them, everything, they will not write a story. They will not. They make every excuse in the world, and they won't do it.
They do it at their own peril. I mean, you know, they're as timid and terrified as the rest of society, if not more so. They're afraid of the power structure within government, and God knows they're afraid of the corporate power structure.
Well, I know one thing. I would get out of media because it's not media if you have to do what Cole tells you to do.
Right.
Or, I guess, any corporation, really.
Well, that's what it's boiling down to.
You know, what happened to free press?
Oh, that's been gone for a while.
And what's going on with the lazy media? Some of them are so lazy. They won't look anything up. They want you to do the work for them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really funny. It's like, well, you know, maybe we can start charging for doing research.
I think I'd do that if I were you.
I wonder.
Patty, so good to hear from you, and I'm glad you got things working, and hope you'll be calling more often.
I'll try to, my best, Bob, and like I said, you have better music now.
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Take care, and my best to your family. 18 minutes after, let's take a break and then come back, and we'll roll it on home. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Well, I hear a great singing in these hills, in the night, the droning of his drills, with a hooty owl and a whippoorwill, like a nightjar without wings. I'm looking around me, it's so sad, the ravenous American dream gone mad. If one guitar was all I had, and just one song to sing, then I would sing a song. For the mother of us all, for are we all not brothers on this blue-green spinning ball? You know that mother loves you, lift your hands and your voices too. Let's sing a song for mother, it's the least that we can do. Back is broken for its cold. Cash sugar rivers in for gold, with a crapshooter's lousy fare. But what about our future sons and daughters, blood kin everyone? After mother's turned and gone, causing no
Don't you turn your back on your mother. Don't you look the other way. For everything that's broken, you know someone has to pay. You know that mother loves you. Do what loving children do. Try and help save your mother before her days are through.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I come from the mountains that roll inland. I once was happy, but now I'm sad that mining company took away my home, part of my land.
Back. So there's just a few minutes left in tonight's program as I prepare to head for the couch, throw the blanket over my head, and start peeking through my eyes at what I hope won't be an embarrassment and a disaster of my beloved Mountaineers. But, you know, back in the day, I used to turn the sound down on the TV broadcasts and listen to Woody and Jack as they did the play-by-play. Can't do that anymore. I can't listen to West Virginia University sports broadcasts because I have to listen to advertisements from that old coal whore, Don Nealon, and that old coal whore, the Bob Pruitt from Marshall. But Nealon is by far the bigger genius. Our good friend Vivian was kind enough to send me sage words from Don Nealon. When you think of the 13 coal miners trapped in Upshur County, remember the words of that old coal whore, Don Nealon. Now let's get some of these doggone regulations eliminated, or at least made sound, so guys can mine coal, Nealon said. I don't exactly know the regulations, but I'm smart enough to know that in China they mine for $6 a ton, and we have got to be able to compete with them. You get it? They mine coal for $6 a ton, and we have got to be able to compete with them. Oh, brother. And you know what? He was giving voice to the hopes and dreams of every single executive of every single coal company, not just in West Virginia, but in the entire United States. Baby, if they could go back to the days of paying in scrip, you better know they would. If they could go back to the days when you had to live in company housing and pay the company rent and buy your tools from the company and your clothes from the company and your food from the company and never see a damned piece of legal tender currency, that is what they would do. And you know it and I know it. So when you know, if you're a Mountaineer fan and you're going to watch the game, listen to the TV broadcast. Don't listen to those coal whores. And then maybe tell them about it, too. Thanks to everybody who participated tonight in whatever way that you did, whether by email, by telephone, or by simply sharing the most precious thing you have with us, namely your time. We do appreciate it. If you're a praying type, say a prayer for those families in Upshur County tonight. Because prayer is about all they've got now. God knows they don't have the support of their employer. Because they're busy pinching pennies. There is some accountant for International Coal Group right now, sunshine, right now, who is worrying about how much the damned rescue effort is going to cost. Think about that. Isn't that just sickening? The show tonight was produced, of course, by my lovely wife, Agnes. Brian Reznor didn't announce tonight. Oh, got it. We'll get back to normal tomorrow. Randy Kerbway engineered the studio setup. Our good friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream and the archives of this and many other fine, fine, progressive and liberal talk programs. Remember him. He's never sent you a bill. The show is brought to you tonight by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. And finally, as ever, RMR.